Stand for the reading of the Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. We'll look at verses 8 through 12. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 8 through 12. Second Timothy chapter 1, verse number 8. The Bible says, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." This evening I want to give you a message entitled, "Be Not Ashamed." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the night that you've given to us. Lord, a night that we get to come and to learn more about you. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity and the freedom to do so. Lord, there's many churches this evening that would love to meet in other countries that they cannot because of the face of persecution. But Lord, I thank you that we still have the freedoms in our country to be able to meet. And Lord, I pray that you'll keep those freedoms, that you'll help us, even if there are times when we may come under the persecution, that we would be able to stand firm on our beliefs and that we would do what is right. Lord, I thank you for this good church. Lord, I thank you for everyone that made the decision to come tonight. They didn't have to. They could go anywhere else, but they chose to be here tonight because they want to serve you. And Lord, I thank you for those that are here, and I pray that you'll be with the ones who couldn't be here tonight. You know the reason why. I pray that you'll bring them back at the next appointed time. Lord, we pray tonight that you'll speak to hearts through the message. And I pray that if there's someone here that does not know you as their Savior, that they would get that settled tonight. Lord, we love you and we thank you. We give all the honor and glory to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. We all have been ashamed of things in our life at one point in time. Perhaps it was something that we did or something that we said, or how we acted in a certain situation, or how we even reacted in a certain situation. We have all experienced shame. Now, Paul is writing to a young pastor who is a little discouraged by the things going on around him and in his life and in his friends. But Paul seems to sense the fact that Timothy is growing ashamed of the gospel because of affliction, because of persecutions, because of trials that accompany it. But Paul wants Timothy to know that there are some things in life in which we must never be ashamed of. And as believers, there is a tendency among us from time to time to be ashamed of who we are and what we have as Christians. Now, there are times when we still have hope that no one finds out that we are believers. Sometimes we have that, we hope that, but maybe we are ashamed to admit that we love the Lord and we are trusting Him to save our souls. Maybe we are ashamed to speak up in the discussion of when it comes to doctrinal things because of the truth from the Bible differs from what people around in the world believe. Maybe you get a little ashamed. Maybe you get discouraged. And maybe we are ashamed to completely sell our lives out for the Lord, to live holy for the Lord like He wants us to. But maybe we are ashamed to times we're ashamed when some failures come and maybe some things happen in your life that we're just ashamed. Whatever the reason may be, God's people often find themselves ashamed of the gospel. Now, the Lord, either the Lord or our relationship with Him. Now, our passage tonight in 2 Timothy chapter 1 is a passage that is designed to teach us that there are just some blessings from the Lord that we should not be ashamed of. And I want to share with these tonight with you. The first one I see in our passage is, be not ashamed of our Savior. Be not ashamed of our Savior. Look in verse 8 of our scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 1. It says, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. There are a couple things that I see here that we should not be ashamed of our Lord. First of all, I see that not of His pain. You know, do not be ashamed to identify yourself with the cross of Christ. You see, it is the cross that purchased our salvation. It is a cross that stands as a dividing line between the saint and the sinner. That's found in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18 verse 21. It happened on the cross. What happened to the cross that day, on the day of Calvary, at Calvary, makes all the difference in our lives. And I'm thankful for the cross of Calvary. People say, well, the cross is a place where it's a sad place to be. Well, can I tell you, it was on that cross that He paid the price for my sins. Yeah. And we ought to be grateful. We ought to be not ashamed of the cross of Christ. We ought not to be ashamed of what He did and the agonizing pain He went through. And though we weep and though we think how He did that for us, we ought not to be ashamed of it. We ought to be thankful for it. Galatians chapter 6, verse number, 14. Galatians chapter 6, verse number 14. Galatians chapter 6, verse 14. The Bible says, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Lord, we should not be ashamed of His pain that He suffered on the cross. But we also not to be ashamed of His plan. He had a plan. The Lord had a plan when He came down to this earth. He came to die for the sins for you and for me. He came to save the entire world. Do not be ashamed to identify yourself with the gospel message. And it may bring division. It may bring affliction. It may bring persecution. But it is that very message that penetrated your heart and brought you to the feet to our risen Savior. The gospel is the most powerful message on the face of earth. And it is that proclamation, that gospel that brought you to Jesus. Now you say, well, I got saved. My dad showed me to the Lord. But look, it was the Word of God that pierced my heart. My dad may have helped pave the way. He was the one who showed me in the Bible how to be saved. And you may think you can recall that person that led you to the Lord Jesus Christ, but they did not save you. They may have helped you and showed you. I'm sure if we went around the room, you could say that person out loud. You could tell me who led you to the Lord Jesus Christ. But it was God that did the saving. And it was from the Word of God that pierced your heart. It was the message of the gospel that brought you to the salvation. But see, we don't need to be ashamed of His plan. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is the only message that delivers that which it promises. Salvation. John chapter 14, verse number 6. John 14, verse number 6. You know this passage, John 14, 6. The Bible says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Can I tell you, the only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ. It's not by the works you do on this world. It's not by living as a good person. The only way you can have eternal life in heaven is through the blood of Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. You see, I'm so grateful for when He came down. He was born in the manger. He was born of a Virgin Mary. He came down, lived a sinless life, died on the cross, and has risen 3 days later. I'm so grateful for His plan. But not only are we be not ashamed of His pain or His plan, but also not be ashamed of His people. Paul tells Timothy here, he warns Timothy to not be ashamed of the people of God, including those who like Paul, who were imprisoned for the cause of Christ. Look, we should never be ashamed of to identify with those that are around us that identify as Christians, those who are believers. We should never be ashamed to identify with that crowd. There is no finer group of people to be around than those that are believers. I believe that. I'm grateful for the brothers and sisters in Christ that we, you know, there's just some great relationship that we have. It's because we know we know Jesus. We are together. We are the children of God. And I'm grateful that there is no people group like that, those of believers. Now, there are many Christians today in this world. But there's a difference between Christians, who so-called Christians, and believers. There are people, other religions, that will identify themselves as Christians, but they don't believe. I know there's people today that claim to be Christians, but they don't know the truth. But we should not be ashamed to identify with the people of God. And there may be some strange people. There may be some weird people. There may be, but look, they're saved and they're family. The best thing as a believer is we can get in with a bunch of folks who love the Lord. Hebrews chapter 2, verse number 11. Hebrews chapter 2, verse number 11. The Bible says in Hebrews 2:11, they shall perish. Oh, excuse me, that's the wrong verse. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 11. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. I'm thankful for the believers, the people of God who love the Lord. I'm grateful that it shows me just by showing up tonight that you want to serve the Lord. And that's encouraging to a preacher's heart, that you want to serve the Lord. Look, you're not here to glorify me. You're not glorifying yourself by just trying to make to sing or stuff. You're here to serve the Lord. And I'm grateful for that. But see, we ought to not be ashamed of the people of Christ. You know, Hebrews chapter 2 there, 11, if that verse is true, then we ought to be good enough. They ought to be good enough for you and me, the crowd around us. That's the crowd that he chose to be with. If he is going to be there, then that is where I want to be also. You know, I got an illustration for this. Thomas, the disciple Thomas, missed the meeting and he was absent when Jesus showed up in John chapter 20, verse number 24. But look, don't be ashamed of the old fashioned worshiping, praising crowd. But look, that's the crowd that we need to affiliate ourselves with. But not only do we need to be ashamed of our Savior, be not ashamed of his salvation. Look at verse 9 and 10 of our scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 1. The Bible says, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. I do not know why anybody would be ashamed of their salvation, but it seems to me that there are some people in this world that are. Because it appears that they do not want to, they avoid living like they know the Lord. They avoid living like that. They go back and they live just like the world. Or they just don't even talk about the Lord. Can I tell you, I'm not ashamed of the Lord. And I'm thankful for his salvation. Here's a couple reasons why. I'm thankful for the greatness of salvation. Salvation is just, it reminds me, Paul reminds Timothy here that we are saved. This word is in the tense that it means that it is a completed act. Saved, it's a past tense. It means that it has been done. It's finished. We are saved. It's a completed act. We are saved and we will remain saved forever. You cannot lose your salvation. No matter what some religions may tell you, they may tell you you may lose your salvation. But can I tell you, we are signed, sealed, and delivered. We are saved for all eternity. Once you place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and ask him to save your soul, you're saved. You're going to heaven. And I'm grateful for that. We are saved forever. We have been delivered from the depths of sin, from the fiery pit of hell. We're saved from the wrath of God. His salvation is precious because it is complete, perfect, and eternal. It delivers our soul. It changes lives. It alters courses. It divines destiny. It is perfect, and it perfect the saints. Why would anybody be ashamed of that? I do not know. If you're ashamed, if you're saved this evening, you owe God a debt of praise and glory and gratitude for Him. As far as the Lord is concerned this evening, we are as good to heaven as we were already there. You know, the writer of Hebrews reminds us that we have a great salvation. Look in Hebrews chapter 2, verse number 3, it says this. Hebrews chapter 2, verse number 3, it talks about how great our salvation is. Hebrews chapter 2, verse number 3 says, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard of Him?" You know, I'm so great for the great salvation that He... The word great there refers to the magnitude of salvation. It was so glorious and so vast in what it offers us that we do not even, can even not even begin to comprehend the salvation that God gives us. I'm so grateful for it. I'm so grateful for the great salvation, the greatness of our salvation. But not only that, be not ashamed of the greatness of His salvation, but the grace of His salvation. Timothy is also reminded that our salvation and our calling, we have nothing to do with who we are and what we could do or anything that we could have done. We are saved by grace, the unmerited love and favor of God for sinners was manifested toward us even before the world began, even before Adam was created. God gave us grace. Even though God knew all about us, He knew all about us, about the things we would do, all the things. Even though everything we would do in this life, He still extended grace toward us. And I'm so grateful that we serve a Savior that shows grace toward us. It is by His grace that we are here tonight. It's by His grace that you were able to walk through those doors. And it is by that grace that... It was His grace that that loves us, that sought us, that called us, saved us, and keeps us until one day we go to heaven. Who we are and what we do has nothing to do with it. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, you know these verses. "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Look, the only way you can be saved is by grace through faith. It's not of what you could do. You know, I've often pondered on if salvation was by works, how many you would have to do. You know, that'd just be sad of if you missed it by one or two or even a few. That'd be pretty sad, wouldn't it? But I'm grateful that's not how salvation works. It's by grace through faith. And it doesn't matter what your background is. It doesn't matter if you didn't grow up in a Christian home. It doesn't matter what you've done in your life. I'm so grateful that anybody who wants to come to know the Lord can. And He'll save. He won't turn away anybody. He'll accept you into His family. He'll save you by His grace. Thankful for the grace, and we not to be ashamed of His grace, but also the glory of His salvation. Paul tells Timothy that through His suffering on the cross, Jesus abolished death. The word "abolished" there means to render inoperative. The most dreaded enemy of mankind was rendered ineffective when Jesus came, died, and rose again. This is what Paul meant when he referred to the sting of death being taken away in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 55. For those who come to Christ, death is rendered inoperative. It is taken out of the picture completely. You know, I'm so thankful that when we leave this life, if you have placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the Bible says that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You know, I preached a funeral right before I came here of a good friend of mine. His name was Brother Marvin. And he was a good friend of our family. And he was my first funeral, and I was honored that he asked me to do that. But I think he wanted to be first, he told me. I think he wanted to be the first one. But he made sure of that. No, I'm just kidding. But you know, I'm so grateful that I know where he is this morning or this evening. I know that when he took his last breath on this earth, he was in the presence of Jesus. And there are many people that you can think of somebody who, a loved one that may be close to you, that has gone home to be with the Lord. But you know you're going to see them again one day. The glory of a salvation, that death, the only thing that loses is death. These are great gifts of the Lord for those who trust in Him by faith for the salvation of their souls. I want you to notice number three tonight. Be not ashamed of our Savior. Be not ashamed of His salvation. But be not ashamed of your service. Look in verses 11 through 12 of our scripture. 1 Timothy 1:11 through 12. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Paul tells Timothy that this is the gospel that compels him to serve the Lord. It is the message of grace that motivates him to pour out his life for the glory of God. There is a word of encouragement for all of us who want to be actively serving the Lord. I see that there is appointments in service here. In verse 11, it talks about his titles that Paul is given. Paul reminds us that the positions occupy in the Lord's kingdom work are not of our own choosing. The word appointed in that verse, in verse 11, is in the passive voice. God chooses him to be a preacher, which is the one who conveys the message of the king. He tells others about the king's glory. The apostle, the word apostle there, one, it means one sent out with orders on behalf of the king. And the word teacher there means one who shows men the way of salvation, or the one who tells men of how to come to the king. You see, the whole point of the matter is this. The Lord chooses when, where, and how we serve Him. Our job is to be available and willing to serve Him. Look, God's not going to force you to serve Him. It's a choice whether we want to serve the Lord or not. And I'm grateful He gives us a free choice, gives us free will, because if He were to force us, we wouldn't want to do it. Have you ever been forced to do something? Like my parents told me, you're going to take out the trash. You're going to mow the lawn. What did that make me do? I was like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to get out there and get all hot and sweaty and mow the lawn. But, you know, later on, I appreciated it because I wanted to do it. But look, the Lord's not going to force us to serve Him because He wants us to choose to serve Him. And I'm grateful He gives us that choice. But look, we ought not to be ashamed of our Lord. We ought not to be ashamed of our service. You know, there are many people in this world that will call you crazy. They'll think you're a nut because you're serving God. But can I tell you, it's the greatest thing you could ever do with your life is to serve Him. We need to be willing, usable, and faithful. Let's not be ashamed of the appoint of the Lord into His service. But let us determine that by His grace, we will fulfill His call on our lives. By the way, each and every person in here, God has a will for your life. Now, there are two wills that we have. We have our own will and we have God's will. Now, when you start doing God's will for your life, it becomes your will. I believe that. Look, it wasn't my will to become a preacher back when I was 13, 14, 15. I didn't think I was going to be a preacher. But God had a different plan. But I'm so grateful that the Lord chooses who He chooses to use me. You know, it's just because I just said in my heart one day, I said, Lord, I don't care what it is, just please use me. And that's the way God wants to use you. He wants you to say, here am I, Lord, send me. Use me whatever you want to, whether it be for the mission field, whether it be the call to preach, whether it be just to go out and be a trash man or a doctor or a lawyer, whatever it is. God can use you, but all you have to do is be willing and be faithful to Him.
Not all people are called into the ministry. Not everybody is called to be a preacher or a teacher or a missionary. But I'm thankful that God can use people. Don't be ashamed of your service. There are some afflictions in service here. Paul was suffering for his testimony. He was a prisoner. In verse 12, we see that it says, "For which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed." He was suffering. He was in prison because he had faithfully served the Lord. This is a sobering truth about the service to the Lord. Those who will faithfully serve him will be tested, will be tried, and will be afflicted. However, it is the pressure that the Lord uses to mold us into his image. I think of an illustration of a potter and the clay. When a potter is making a vessel, you know, sometimes he has to break the vessel. And the Lord is our potter, and we are the vessel. We are the clay. And he molds us and makes us. Sometimes he has to maybe hurt us a little bit, but it's because he's going to form us into a more beautiful vessel. And you know, when the finished work of that is, it's a beautiful vessel. I've seen, have you ever seen a potter do pottery? It is amazing. I remember going to, I think it was Missouri one time, and we were, this was before I was married, I think it was with me and my parents, but we went there, and it was just amazing to watch as the potter just broke down the vessel and formed it into a beautiful vessel. And it was just amazing. But that's the way the Lord does for us. Sometimes we'll go through trials. Sometimes we'll go through tests that break us down, but we're not going to stay broken for long. God's going to form us into a beautiful vessel for his glory. There's also the assurance in service here. In verse 12, it says, "For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." Paul closes with a profound statement of faith that still causes the people of the Lord to rejoice this evening. He tells us that he is persuaded. The word means to be tranquilized. Or it carries the idea of being able to rest in total assurance that all is well. It is a calm to our soul. Paul is confident that the Lord is able. The word means mighty, powerful, and strong. He is confident that the Lord is able to keep. This word means to guard, watch, or keep an eye on. He is confident that the Lord is able to keep that which is committed unto him. This word means a deposit or trust consigned to another's faithful keeping. I think Paul is referring to three areas. He has committed his soul, he has committed his sacrifice, and his services. And I believe tonight that the Lord is well able to keep us, all the things we have committed to his safekeeping. He will not lose a single soul committed to him. He will not forget our sacrifices for his sake. He will not forget the service that we have done for him. He will see to it that these things and keep them safely for us. Left to ourselves, we would lose our salvation. Left to ourselves, our sacrifices would go unnoticed, but he is able to see and to remember them all. Left to ourselves, our service to him would die when he did. But he knows our service, and he will reward us one day when we get to heaven. Nobody else may see or care. Nobody else may care what you've done for the cause of Christ, but he cares. He sees what you've done for him. And that's all whom you need to please. You know, I heard a preacher say this once. He said, "I'll make everyone in this room mad to stay true to him. If I'm going to stay true, you know, I may go against everything, but if God's telling me to do it, if it's God's will for this, then that is the one I need to please." Nobody else may seem or care, but he does. Committed to him and keep on serving him for his glory. Now, can I tell you, each of us have our flaws. We're not perfect. We're human. We all are cracked vessels, so to speak. But if we allow it, the Lord will use our flaws by His grace at His table, and we will seek to, He will make us to a beautiful vessel. Don't be afraid of your flaws. Go on boldly, knowing that our weakness will find in His strength. You know, I think one of my weaknesses is that, you know, I may be impatient. My wife can testify to this. I am impatient. I want to get things done now. And there are a couple flaws that I have too. But I'm thankful God can still use me, regardless of my flaws. Aren't you thankful the Lord can use you regardless of what you have, what's become in your life, what flaws you may have? God can still use you if you just let Him. If you just say, "Here am I, Lord, send, use me." You know, I heard another preacher once say, it's like your will to God is like a blank piece of paper. I'm just going to use, I guess, pretend this is blank. It's a little bit. This is yours, brother. Brother Arthur, is this yours? Okay. Well, just remember, think if it's blank, if it's a blank sheet of paper. Actually, I got a blank one right here. The blank, it's like this is your will. And all you have to do is sign at the bottom of it. Say, "Lord, you fill in the rest." That's the way it ought to be for our lives. You ought to just let God fill in the details. All you have to do is just sign it. We all have flaws, but God can use us. I don't know where you are tonight, but all I need to tell you tonight is this. You do not need to be ashamed of your Lord, of your salvation, and of your service to Him. The good news is that He can, and He still will use you in spite of your flaws. We are all just a bunch of cracked vessels, but that's the kind He wants to use for His glory. He's not going to use the most qualified person. He won't use the most qualified, big loudmouth preacher that can reach hundreds of thousands of people. He's going to use that person that wants to be used. He's not going to use the greatest speaker. Look, He used Moses, who had a speech handicap, but God used him greatly. Look, tonight, I just want to simply give this to not be ashamed. Don't be ashamed of who you serve. Be grateful for who you serve. Because one day we're going to stand before Him. We're going to give an account to everything that we've done here on this earth. And look, when you pass somebody in Walmart, don't forget to just give them a tract or say, "Hey, I'm just praying for you here. Here's a tract." Look, if you're not witnessing to people, you say, "Well, I'm just don't know what to say." Look, that may be true, but you're also being ashamed of the Lord that way too. Because you're not doing what God put us on this earth to do, is to go and to tell others about Christ. Don't be ashamed of our Savior. Don't be ashamed of your salvation. The greatest day in your life was when you placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Why would we not want to tell others about it? We ought to tell somebody today, tomorrow, whenever you pass somebody, tell the greatest day of your life. Don't be ashamed of your salvation, but also don't be ashamed of your service, that you serve the one true God. Where are you at tonight? Are you ashamed of Him? I pray you're not. And maybe you've done some things that maybe qualify as you say, "Well, I haven't done this, but I know that I'm not doing what I should be doing for the Lord." Can I tell you, you can come and ask Him for the forgiveness. You can ask, come back to Him. And if you're not saved tonight,